And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, brought to you by Hackensack University Medical Center here on MSG. I'm Paul Dottino. Roman Oberton joins me as always. And Roman, you know, this injury list, there's only six guys on it today. Yeah. You know, a couple weeks ago, there were 13.
Yeah, it's short. I mean, it's good to see the injury list getting shorter and shorter as you go along, especially in this critical part of the schedule.
All right, a couple things we want to mention about what Tom Coughlin said in regards to the injury. Still no practice for Jaquan Williams, unfortunately. Kenny Phillips limited on the side. You know, the other thing's not really unexpected, but David Bosch, with an ankle, was rolled up on early in the game this past Sunday, was able to finish. He will not practice today. Kevin Booth and Jim Cordle will take the snaps at center.
Well, the good thing about David Bosch's injury is that he went down and still came in and played. So I'm not diagnosing the injury, but you know it's not something that's severe. And the fact that he came back and played, you know, it's probably a little tenderness, some swelling, but that's something you have to monitor every single day this week. But Dave Bosch is a soldier, as you know, offensive lineman, don't want to miss any football games.
Yeah, they certainly want to have him in there against Dallas. And speaking of Dallas, the Giants go down to Jerry Jones's Palace on Sunday. And they can't afford to lose this one, Roman, because if they do, they go 1-3 in the division. And even though the Giants already have 5 wins, you hate to have a bad division record.
Well, you know, this time last week we were saying the Giants don't want to go 0-3 in the division, you know, with the losses already to Dallas earlier. So with 1-3, that's something you definitely don't want. But again, this part of the season, it's really getting to the meat of the schedule. If you don't win this division, you're going to have to go, you know, 12-4 and maybe get a wild card seat. So it's really, really important. And all the chips are on the table because obviously you lost to Dallas in week one.
Yeah, the Giants, by the way, are 3-0 in the Cowboys' new stadium since it was built. Now, we have our first Twitter question of the morning. It comes from Scott Morrison, 18. He wants to know, do you think the three-headed monster is going to show up in Dallas? I haven't seen it yet. Well, you know, last week Tom Coughlin hinted that he might split some of the carries between Bradshaw, Brown, and Wilson. Wilson still really is not a big part of that rotation.
Well, one thing that Giants fans have to understand, that it's good to have these three options in the backfield. We've seen Ahmad Bradshaw, some tough, hard running. You've seen him run a little bit more downhill, just like we've seen Brown. That Carolina game was huge. And obviously the burst of Dave Wilson later in the games, the Cleveland game especially with the big touchdown. But it's really about playing winning football and not about getting specific guys carries. So as long as you have those options and you don't have a drop-off, no matter who's carrying the ball, that's always an advantage to have offensively.
Okay, so maybe we didn't see a lot of David Wilson last Sunday, but a guy we saw something of, which was a big change, was Chris Canty along that defensive front. He took 25 snaps and had 4 tackles.
And you predicted maybe 12 to 15 snaps, so Chris Canty played a lot last week. I mean, a guy who hadn't hit anybody since February, which was hitting weights, but the type of game he played last week, you're remembering he was absorbing, two-gapping, looking at RG3, and still having to play the run. So it was a different type of game. So I expect Chris Canty maybe a little more than 25 snaps, maybe in that 30 or 40 range. Now he gets to tee off because obviously you're playing against your former team. You missed them in week one. So Chris Canty will get better and better each week, and that's going to help the D-line as a whole.
Well, you know what, Roman? I want to ask you, how much do you think he helps the pass rush and the big three defensive end, so to speak? Remember, against Dallas in week one, it was Bernard and Joseph who had the Giants 2 sacks. They didn't get any from the big superstar defensive ends. So what do you think the impact will be on Sunday?
You know, one thing Chris Canty does is he absorbs those double teams. He's always going to be blocked by a center and a guard. So that allows Tuck, JPP, OC, always to at least one of those guys is always going to get a one-on-one matchup. Probably going to have some chips on the outside by the backs. But if one guy is singled up, somebody has to win, whether it's Tuck, JPP, or OC. So that's what Chris Canty does. He absorbs blockers on the inside. He pushes that pocket back, and then you can flush out the quarterback, especially a guy like Tony Romo, who can get outside the pocket. It flushes that guy's out, and you fall right into the laps of your defensive ends.
Let me keep you here with the defensive tackles for a second. Linval Joseph was in on 2 turnovers against the Redskins, a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. That's a good day for a D-lineman.
No, it's a great day, and I think Linval Joseph back with the combination of Canty, I mean, you're starting to see the lineup that everyone expected at the beginning of the season. So this defensive line, Paul, is getting better and better at the right time of the year. 9 sacks in the last 2 weeks. And then only 3.5 sacks leading up to 2 weeks ago.
All right, now, one of the problems the Giants had in that first game against the Cowboys opening night was stopping the run. Now, DeMarco Murray is probably not going to play this week. Doesn't look too good for him. He's banged up. He just chewed the Giants up alive in that first game.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to that first game, specifically how the Giants have played the last 2 weeks, I'm going to just categorize it as the week one blues. obviously last week, you know, Alfred Morris did a great job in that zone run. But, you know, going back to some of those runs last week, they were almost absorbing Alfred Morris because they're always playing that two gap and always reading and reacting. But they're tackling better. They're getting to the quarterback. They're coming off the ball a lot better. Each week, the Giants' defensive line have gotten a lot stingier and stingier against that run. So I think they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, Morris had like a buck 20, and it was a buck 30, I think,
yeah,
for
Murray. Yeah, and 5.5 yards a carry. So yeah. A lot of those runs he got were after the line of scrimmage, after contact.
And then quickly, before we go to break, Roman, what about the pass defense, which at times has been real good, and in other times, like against Romo opening night, wasn't so good?
Well, you've got to expect that the Giants defensively in the secondary are better than they were in week one. This will be the first pure passing team that the Giants have seen offensively since the Dallas game. You know, again, Carolina, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Tampa, all those teams weren't pure passing. They did a lot of misdirection things in the backfield, but Tony Romo does pose some threats, but you have to say that the Giants' secondary has gotten a lot better, especially Corey Webster's playing a lot better, Prince is playing better. So a lot of optimism going into Sunday.
All right. Well, Tony Romo and the Cowboys are going to have a lot planned for the Giants on Sunday down at the Big D. When we come back after this timeout, we will specifically talk about what the Cowboys have to offer Big Blue. And I'll tell you something, folks, it's going to be a heck of a game. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, brought to you by Hackensack University Medical Center. Paul Dottino and Roman Oben with you as the Giants prepare for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night down at Cowboys Stadium. Now, this is a Cowboys offense, which is not the most potent in the league right now. They're averaging less than 20 points a game, Roman. And more importantly, they're making a lot of mistakes. One number that I saw stuck out like a sore thumb. They lead the NFL in false starts. They've got 16 already. How does that happen?
Well, it seems like the ghost of Flozell Adams is still haunting that offensive line. But, you know, an inconsistent offensive line is really a black mark on any offensive production. And that's something you just don't want, especially you have a quarterback like Tony Romo who's thrown some interceptions, you know, that Chicago game. But it really starts with how they play up front. And I'm sure that's something Jason Garrett is very unhappy with these last few weeks.
No question. And, you know, it seems to me, though, that their offense is actually designed to prevent those mistakes because they want to run and they want to throw a lot of short passes. Romo's got a 68% completion mark, good enough for third in the NFL. They're not throwing nearly as many deep balls as they used to throw, but they're still finding ways to screw it up.
Yeah, and they're nickel and diming their way downfield. You know, Jason Garrett is a great tactician. You know, from the 20 to 20, they're really effective. Short passes, a lot of slants, you know, guys like Dez Bryant, obviously, Jason Witten, trying to find the guys, the ball, those guys down in the seam. But it's just when it counts at crucial moments, the Cowboys just haven't gotten it done.
17 passes of 20 or more yards, or completions, I should say, not a number that they might be very happy with. Now, Dez Bryant is a guy who they have had so many high expectations for, but the bottom line is, as good as he is, as talented as he is, and we all know how good he can be, he just has a lot of problems with dropsies, tied for the NFL lead with 6.
Yeah, you know they say man cannot live on talent alone, especially in the NFL. Talent is one thing, and Dez Bryant was as talented as a receiver as there is in the NFL, but it's the focus and the concentration to me, and anyone that analyzes this young man as a receiver, is that fifth gear that he's missing. You've seen some great plays, and you've seen some plays where he's dropped, specifically the Baltimore, the two-point conversion, a touchdown last week that he dropped, so... those are the things that add to the inconsistency of how Dallas is doing offensively this season.
He get a lot of slants thrown his way, which is why his average is only about 10 yards a catch, and right. I think he's a lot better of a receiver than that. Miles Austin has been their big threat, averaging about 17 yards a catch. Now, let's talk about their ground game. DeMarco Murray's got a foot injury. We don't think we're going to see him. Felix Jones a bit nicked up with a sore knee, so we may not see as much of him as maybe people expect either. That could be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way that Cowboys offense is constructed. It's based on good offensive line play, solid running game, which is something they just don't have right now. I think you're going to have Tanner and probably Felix Jones, you know, getting a majority of the carries. But, you know, go back to week one. I mean, Dallas did a really good job establishing that ground game. Defense was missing tackles, really solid performance offensively. So they're really a different team going into Sunday than they were in week one, specifically with the loss of the running back.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray killed the Giants with over 100 yards alone in the second half of that game, Roman. And if they get that ground attack going, I don't care who's back there, Dunbar or Tanner, that's a problem for the Giants. Now, what about this Cowboys secondary? Claiborne had a pick last week. It was the first time the Cowboys had a defensive back intercept the football in 12 games, actually going back to last season. Wow.
Yeah, they've been really a bend but don't break defense. They're good athletes. Claiborne is a solid player. They've got some solid veterans, good at the cornerback positions, but they just haven't forced the turnovers. They just haven't put their offense in a position, you know, to get some good field position because of some of those turnovers. So
isn't that risk reward though, Roman? Because they don't send as many blitzers, and as a result, they don't get as many rewards.
Well, you rely so much on that pass rush sometimes that when you don't get the pass rush, it leaves the defenders, the secondary, in a vulnerable position.
Now, DeMarcus Ware is as good as it gets. We all know that.
Right, exactly.
6.5 sacks on the season. Had 2 in week 1 against the Giants. They really worked him on David Deal. That was a big key for Dallas in that game.
I think DeMarcus Ware really poses the biggest threat this Sunday with the offensive tackles in Will Beatty and Sean Locklear. I mean, they haven't seen that type of a rusher yet this year, especially going on the road in that environment with the crowd noise. So, and he's no friend to Eli Manning, especially when he gets to him. So they're going to have to run the ball well and find ways to have shorter passes. And you don't want to get in these obvious third long situations where DeMarcus Ware can get in Eli Manning's face, preventing from making these passes.
Now, in that game, Spencer also had 7 tackles, was a disruptive force. Ratliff did not play their outstanding defensive tackle, but they will have Spencer, Ratliff, and Ware all on the field Sunday against Big Blue. That's a problem.
Yeah, again, you go back to Chris Canty for the Giants. Ratliff is almost a Chris Canty that they've missed on their side of the ball. Ratliff is a tremendous player, a good athlete, a little bit smaller than Canty, obviously. But what he does, he penetrates that A-gap. He's going to come up huge, and he wants to come up huge this week for Dallas to get them back on track defensively.
And then finally, Roman, you heard Tom Coughlin say Sean Lee's out of the lineup. He's got a bad toe, so Dan Connor, the former Panther, is going to be filling in. Not as athletic as Lee, doesn't do as well as pass coverage either.
Look, Dan Connor, a very capable veteran, not Sean Lee, but you know that Dan Connor might be vulnerable in that seam area, and that's where the Giants are going to have to take advantage of that in pass coverage.
All right. He's Roman Oben. I'm Paul Dottino. It's the Giants and Cowboys Sunday at Cowboys Stadium. And, of course, next Wednesday we'll be back with Giants Press Conference Live. We'll see you then.